Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion. I'm your host, or I'm one of them anyway, I should say. I'm Erica.
Yep. And I'm Erin, and I have the good puzzles.
You have the good puzzles.
Yeah.
Do it the other way. I can't see your book.
It's called Who Done It.
Who Done It?
It's called Who Done It. Yep. Puzzle
book. Oh, okay.
And it's got cryptograms in it and all kinds of stuff. So
using the brain cells you have. I like it.
Got it at the grocery store. It was impulse buy.
Oh. Those are some good impulse buys, though, sometimes.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Mine's usually peanut M&Ms, so.
There you go.
No, that's good that you did the puzzle book.
Yeah, mine's a brain game,
Yep. Wonderful. Yep. All right, well, everybody, welcome back. So glad to have you here. Thank you for all the new listeners, the new followers, and for those who have been with us from the beginning or anywhere in between. Thanks for coming back. We're so happy you're here. We like that you stick around and hang out with us. Makes us feel special, right? A little bit. Erin's being quiet.
It does.
Okay.
A little bit.
And if you haven't already, give us a follow on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open there. And if you'd like to reach out to us, so you can send us an email at southernonion2@gmail.com. If you haven't already, like us, rate us, review us. We really appreciate it. That just helps out so that other people might see that we have this little podcast that we're doing out here, and we'd really appreciate it. And if you don't like us, why are you still listening? Right? So, I mean, thanks, but... So, hope everybody has had a fantastic week. We are closing in. We're in week two of preseason football for NFL. So, I'm happy as a little bird, you know. I love that my football's coming back. And hopefully, if you're a sports watcher, your sports going on are coming back too. And hope everybody had a great week. I'm ready for the fall weather, though, please. Why is it still in the 90s? Somebody tell me. I need it in with a weathercaster, a meteorologist, so we can get this change soon. Because I'm tired of being hot. I'm really starting to get cranky with it now.
But when you're hot like me, you get used to it.
Okay. Love it.
You get used to it.
This is true. You are the hot twin. I can I have the personality and can juggle. That's what I bring to the table.
God don't give us both hands.
No, he doesn't. You know. You're right. Or she doesn't.
There you go.
All right. So, Erin, how has your week been? What trouble have you gotten into this week?
Not too much. I've just been busy. We a new Dunkin' opened up.
Oh, gosh. So, a new place of addiction.
Right. Well, but it's only a drive-through. And it's a real little building, and I went there, but I'm not going to be going back. You know, I love Dunkin', but they only have liquid cane sugar, and I don't like liquid cane sugar.
Ew, no.
And it made me sick. So I have to have granulated. If I'm going to do it, it's got to be like old school sugar.
That's right. Because we're delicate.
So I never had liquid cane sugar before, and it was just horrible. I didn't like it. So
Well, I'm sorry. Well, at least you've got one to go to that has the granulated sugar.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to my home ship.
To your origin,
The one that I love the most. Yeah. They're stuck with me, and they just paid their parking lot, so, you know.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, right. there was a four-bedroom, two-bath crater out in the parking lot forever, so they finally got that big. So
how old are we that we're talking about paid parking lots and granulated sugar, though?
I know, right? Well, it's all right.
Can you guess our age?
Keeping it real.
That's
keeping
right. Real. I love it.
So I know. So other than that, I mean, it's just been
hanging out with Maggie and everything else.
Trudging along like everybody else. Yeah.
Well, that's good. For me, I'm always into exciting new things. Not really. I had been dealing with kidney stones for a couple of weeks and finally had my appointment, and thankfully they're all gone. Yay. So no more kidney stones. I figured out what was causing it. So I've corrected that. So we're happy about that. Also, again, talking about our age, went yesterday and had my eye exam and got some new glasses. So now I look extra smart.
Yeah.
So, go me. So really, you know, trying to maintain what I got.
There you go.
Before it starts breaking down again.
Yeah.
No.
Keep what you got.
Exactly. So we hope everybody out there has had a great week. Thanks for always tuning in and listening to us and our very interesting lives that we lead. I mean, I don't know why the Inquirer's not all over this, honestly.
Right. Exactly, yes.
I mean, inquiring minds want to know. So you and I talk, of course, a lot off, you know, off recording time, and there have been a couple of, I want to say dilemmas, but a couple of things that have been brought up to our attention, and we kind of want to talk about it and get people's thoughts on what they think as well. So you want to go first with yours, Erin?
Yeah, well, I was watching TV. I love soap operas.
Oh, yeah.
But I watched The Bold and Beautiful. I'm a devoted fan to them. I remember the first episode.
Oh, yeah. But,
you know, commercials that come on, Snuggles, which I love. I use Snuggles.
Looking for a sponsor.
Yeah, I love Snuggles. I use them. We grew up with Snuggle. I remember the Snuggle teddy bear.
And how
cute it was, you know, when it would fall into the sheets and bounce.
Oh,
you know,
yes, and all the flowers. And it's like,
and he would
really
giggle,
soft.
Mm-hmm. And it was so cute. Yeah, well, the newest commercial scares me to death. And I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Like I said, I love Snuggles, but this commercial, I hate it. Because it shows him in front of a camera dancing.
Yes, he's like doing a TikTok video or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. Just for his fans.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, fans only account, of course.
Right, yeah. And so this woman walks in and, you know, he's like, oh, you got to smack her in the face with a towel. Like, throws a towel at her and it hits her in the face. And she's like, oh, you know, it's like, doesn't this smell great? You
know?
And then she starts dancing. Mm-hmm. And then he says, don't stop, we're trending.
Yes, yep.
And he's dancing, and it's like, to see this teddy bear, oh my goodness.
Yep.
No.
Okay. So I'm going to try to...
It scared me.
I'm going to try to get a little bit of the commercial. We'll have it out on Instagram this week. So be on the look for, if you've not already seen the commercial. And so I've seen the commercial since you've told me this. And he is a little aggressive with the towel throwing. I will...
Yeah.
Give that, but I guess the scent just whoo, you know, just smacks you in the face. I guess I don't, and then with the dancing, and he doesn't have elbows, and I think that's what really gets me. He's just kind of curved, and I don't know how to feel sometimes about it,
right?
So.
Yeah, it's so pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's like, and don't stop or trending, and I'm like, nah, you need to.
Yeah, now he's demanding. He's aggressive and demanding. Well, what happened to Snuggles? I don't want to snuggle with that.
Yeah, so I love the product. I'll keep using the product, but the commercial just.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So. All right. Well, sorry you're having to go through that, Erin.
I know.
That's rough.
Be okay.
So,
it is.
So I have a dilemma that I need your help with. Now that, you know, the mornings have gotten a little bit cooler, that means it's time, you know, here in the South, and I'm sure other places too, time for yard sales.
Oh, yeah.
Right? People put out their wares that they don't want anymore, hoping others will come and buy it from them. So I like to go and, you know, just see what kind of, you know, vinyl, music, books, textbooks, you know, you never know what people have.
Yeah,
just kind of need to snoop around. So, you know, when I've acquired this one book, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should give it back or not, because this book has a lot of, I mean, you know, you're used to the pages being dog-eared, you know.
Sure.
And so it's worn. You can tell this book's been used. And that's fine. I paid like 50 cents for it. And, but it has a lot of highlighting in it.
Huh.
And like in the margins, kind of on the side of the pages, there's like notes. And I'm like, you know, this is somebody that put a lot of effort into this. And, you know, maybe they didn't mean to put it out there because, I mean, this is time spent on this. There's a lot of notes and highlighting. And I don't know. I mean, should I go back to where I bought it and, like, give it back or say, hey, did you really mean to sell this?
Well, what kind of a book is it?
Well, it was Fifty Shades of Grey.
Oh, well, yeah. Then so they probably do want it back.
They might
then.
Want it back because I'm like, no, I read it, you know, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. 50 Shades of Grey.
50
oh,
Shades of Grey. So I was like, that is a lot of effort put into this. And yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah. So, okay.
They might want it back. They
maybe I'll just, back, yeah. you know, set it on the front porch with a note. I don't know that I want to face them now and
right.
be like,
well, I don't
here.
Know what's. Right. What's worse, knowing you bought it or knowing that that they had it? So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Page 180, I would really reconsider. You know, I mean, do I yeah. do that or?
You know, I wrote some other notes in there
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Here's some of my thoughts on things.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
So. Maybe. So I don't know. Do I give the book yeah. back or not? Let us know.
Mm. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's all good. So
that's right.
But yeah, so other than that, you know, just hanging around, working, and luckily this week coming up, I don't have to travel as much, and I don't know what to do with myself, so I'm so excited. But I will find ways to get my 40 hours in. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Well, let's go ahead and get into peeling back the layers on this onion that we have for you this week. And this is Dennis Rader, otherwise known as BTK, the Bound Torture and Killer. This was, Aaron and I actually watched two different things, both from YouTube. I watched the BTK Real Crime on YouTube. It was about 45 minutes. It was more about him. A little, you know, obviously about his victims as well, a little bit, but it was more about him and the and his background. And which one did you watch, Erin?
It's called BTK Serial Killer: The Entire Story, and this was on Snapped from Oxygen. And this one just basically goes through the case itself. It doesn't really go too much into the details of each murder, but it just goes into like the progression of everything.
Yeah. So if you haven't listening and you want to watch kind of what we saw and where we got our information, there you go. Both from YouTube, so free service there.
Yep.
So, Lord, this one.
I know.
He was born, Dennis Rader was born in 1945 in Wichita, Kansas, or kind of on the outskirts of Wichita, Kansas. He was the eldest of four boys. His mom was a grocery store worker. His dad was a railroad worker.
Oh.
And so, I mean, you come in from, you know, blue collar, working class, friends, schoolmates, you know, there was no noted trauma. There was nothing in their childhood where a family member or a friend or whatever mistreated them. No assaults, no abuse. Parents were, you know, they disciplined them, but nothing outrageous. So there was nothing of that in his background to make it seem like, where did we turn and go on this path of life? Right. You know, he did, his reign over Wichita, if you will, was for 30 years. It was during 1974 to 1991, and he had a total of 10 victims. It's said that in, you know, with the town that he grew up in, it was a little town. It was a cow town. And by that, it was part of the cattle trail used by Texas when they were reherding their cows and moving them over, I guess, for the season. I don't know too much about that. And it was a low crime rate town. So again, nothing.
Yeah, nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Friends said that he would just kind of, he would blend in. He wasn't something that stood out. He wasn't someone that stood out, but he was always there. And, you know, so just really nothing that said, wow, you know, but now here comes a couple of things after they say all that and you're like, wow, okay. What's happened? So he had his grandmother, as most grandmothers, I guess, in that area, had chickens, and they would kill the chicken to eat the chicken for dinner, and that he liked watching his grandmother kill the chickens, and he kind of thought it was cool, but then his friend said then that led to turtles, But he wouldn't just, like, smash turtles or I don't know. I don't know. I didn't kill animals growing up, so I don't know. But he would torture them. One friend said he would actually hang the turtles. So we're like, whoa, here we go. What is happening here? And that he also liked to wear women's underwear. As do I, but I'm a woman, so. But, sorry, I got to throw some comedy in here. This isn't as bad as Dr. Beck, like, but I was able to handle this one. But he did. So he liked to wear women's underwear. All right, fine. That's fine. I have no issues with that. Okay. Well, then they said in his early teens, so this is where kind of the psychology kicks in on this. It says in his early teens, he had a teacher who humiliated him in front of the class. Now, they didn't say what had happened. Was he acting out? Did he have a speech impediment? I don't know. But it said a teacher humiliated him in front of the class. So he decided that he was going to go to that teacher's house and he was going to look in her window, like being a peeping Tom, to I guess to scare her.
Yeah, right.
I know. So, anyhow, so he's at the teacher's house, and evidently he has a rope tied around himself.
Oh, okay.
Again, I don't know why, and I don't understand this part. They left, you know, details out that honestly I really don't want to know. So he went to the teacher's house that night. He had a rope tied around him. And he was watching the teacher through the window. So a psychologist said that possibly because he felt very empowered, that here he was watching this teacher. She had no idea. So he's got all this power watching her and her not knowing, that it actually aroused him. And as he was getting more and more aroused, he was tightening the rope around him and he orgasmed. So she's saying, the psychologist said, that that's when it started, that he related pain, torture, to pleasure. That's where that started, and that's why he would bound and torture his victims. Because for him, when he had that experience, looking in the window, that it all tied together, and that was his way of getting pleasure. So I'm like, there's the turn. There we went off the rails, you know. But again, he did like watching, or excuse me, reading True Detective, read detective magazines. And especially in the 70s, you can go back and look, but a lot of those detective magazines depicts a lot of bondage. As far as women being tied up and tortured. And for him, now millions of people read this magazine. And nobody else acted on this but him.
Sure.
So it was seeing that, having the encounter peeping through the teacher's window, that's what set it all off. But then, because he's reading these magazines, that's what makes him harder to catch. Because he knows what cops are looking for, or detectives are looking for. So, but I saw you had something you want to add, Erin.
Well, I mean, but this, okay, and I know we just said this, but you would think that, you know, he would be a 50 Shades of Grey person.
Sure.
Because
he's not Christian.
Well, I mean, right. Is that the guy's name, Christian Grey? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
So
I've not read the book. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, you would think that he would be more in the 50 Shades of Grey world. And getting satisfaction through that.
Through a consensual partner, yes.
Correct. But that's not obviously what he was looking for or where he was getting his satisfaction. Because like you said, when he would tighten the rope and then it was like watching somebody and then it was like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
But there was no killing in that point. But I don't know. Where did he make that cross of saying, oh, okay, I'm not going to just bound them and torture them, but now I'm going to kill them too.
Yeah. Well, and that's
It's almost like a cat and a mouse thing, you know.
Exactly. And I don't know, and we'll get into it in just a moment, but his first victims, I don't know if that's what pushed it over. And then he got a taste of killing and was like, oh, I can put all of this together.
Well, did yours talk about where his mom got her hand caught in the couch spring? She was looking for her ring, and she got her hand caught in the couch spring, and she got stuck, and she couldn't get out. And so she was telling Dennis, hey, come over here and help me out, get me out. And he just said, no, I just enjoyed watching her struggle.
Yeah, see that? And he,
so there was little things.
Yeah, that, and he said he had dreams and knew he was different from everybody else, that he knew he was a deviant. But, you know, and it showed court recordings of him in court in front of a judge and everything, and how he talked so casually about what he did. You know, oh, yeah, with that one, I used this rope. Oh, yeah, and I did this. Just so matter of fact. And it was like, good grief. You know, what has happened here? But, you know, I mean, he grows up. He graduates high school. He gets married. He is married for over, what, 35 years?
Yeah, to Paula.
To Paula. Poor Paula. Good Lord. And Paula's lucky. There was a close run-in Paula had that I don't think she knew about till after all this came out, and we'll go over that, but he was married, so he had a double life.
He lived
in the same town this whole time. The town that he was terrorizing, he lived right in there. One of his victims, and we'll get to that, was four doors down from him. I mean, that's you know, pretty bold to be that close to the area, but yeah, so you had Paula, but you know, just as far as his upbringing and stuff, that was the only thing I could, that I found or heard, was about the teacher that really kind of brought things to really going down the path of where he went. So, all right, so now we're going to get into the really unfun stuff and the victims, if you're ready, Aaron.
So,
I didn't know if you had anything else. I didn't know if you had anything else to add.
I mean, that was basically, so as you said, he met Paula and they got married. All accounts, Dennis is able to hide in plain sight. They go to church.
Yeah, and he would hide, you know, in plain sight. Like I said, you know, having that one victim four doors down, I was like, are you kidding? So he decides, you know, I'm going to take this where I like bondage and kind of having power over people, and I'm going to see how that goes. So I think that's what happened, is he was ready to use this on unsuspecting people, but in person. And that's what made him go to this next level and have a victim, if you will, in the same room with him. And that's how we get to the Ortega's family. And so he, and this is why, you know, sidebar here, this is why, like, we have cell phones, because so many of his victims, he would go outside and cut the phone line before he would break in. So I'm saying, you can't cut cell phone lines, you know.
So, right, no.
You know, he would cut the phone lines and then he would break in. So, so now we're first victims, the Otero's, I hope I said that right, family.
Yeah, the Otero, I believe is how they say it. It was a mom, dad, and I believe five children. Is that correct?
Right, but only two were the two children became victims, unfortunately.
So Charlie, on the morning of January 15th, 1974, these are going to be Dennis's first killing, his first victims. It was a mom, father, brother, and sister. And so Charlie, one of the older kids, he goes to school. The kids are getting up in the morning. It's time to go to school. Charlie and another sibling go to school. And so Joey, who is the nine-year-old little boy, is still in the home with his sister, Josephine, and mom and dad. He goes to let the family pet out. And there's Dennis Rader in the backyard.
Just right there.
Here comes Dennis Rader right into the house. And he pulls a pistol on them, ties them up, and strangles and kills them. And I, now mine did not go into much more detail than that, other than when Charlie got home from school with his brother at 3:30, he goes into the house. He finds mom and dad in the bedroom killed. And he goes and calls 911. but he notices the phone lines cut.
Right.
So he goes next door and is like, look, we need the police over here.
Right.
So the police come and they say, what's going on? And he goes, go take a look. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when the police found Brother Joey in his bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But they found Josephine down in the basement hung by a pipe.
Yeah.
Like a sewer pipe.
Yeah.
Hanging. And they find semen at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been no suggestion of sexual assault.
Right. Yep. And that's where, you know, again, watching the teacher and having his own pleasure out, you know, away from another person that right. he, and it showed clips of him talking in court that how he would, you know, he put the bag over Joey, 9 year old Joey, put the bag over his head and tied it around his neck and just pulled up a chair and watched because he was like, it was fascinating to watch that, just the life leave their body. I'm like, are you serious? You are so twisted. Why would yeah. you do that? There's nothing any of those people, because they had just moved to the area not long yeah. before Dennis Rader happened. I mean, here yeah. they were moving, looking for a new start, you know, probably new jobs, new schools and everything. And then this happens for no reason other than he just decided, meh. You look, I think he was only planning on Julie, the mom, being home.
Correct. And the little girl, Josephine. Yeah. And Josephine is 11.
11, yeah. So it just.
And he was mm-mm. really fascinated with the females.
Yes.
Julie yeah. and Josephine. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you said, more people were home. Therefore, he
right.
killed them all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it just. So now, here we go. We've got a murderer on the loose.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now all of Wichita, Kansas is like, whoa, what's happening here?
Right.
And yep.
Yeah. And well, and that's the thing. And the police started investigating and there was just like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he had been reading yeah. all these detective mm-hmm. novels or magazines.
Yeah.
So he knew what they would be looking for, which, mm-hmm. you know, when you hear him talk and when you really get into how he prepared for these things, he was very meticulous in it. Like he, mm-hmm. these weren't just, oh, I see a person, I'm going to go murder them. I mean, he stalked right. them. When he yeah. decided, you're my next victim, and he said he would just see somebody walking on the road, getting their mail, going into their house, and he would stop and point at them and go, you're next. And he, yeah. and that's why there was usually a lot of time in between murders, because right. he took a lot of time to prepare, which is really, really unsettling.
Yeah. So October 22nd of 1974. So this is like 9 months after the Otero family has mm-hmm. been murdered.
Yeah.
There's a phone call
mm-hmm.
to the Wichita Eagle from a person claiming to be the killer.
Yes.
And he claims to have left a note at the public library in like an engineering book.
Mm-hmm.
And in that letter, it described the killing of the Otero family.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the police had had an idea of who they thought might have done these killings, but they weren't sure.
Mm-hmm.
The letter states in there, hey, you're looking at the wrong people.
Mm.
And actually describes scenes from the Otero killing that only the killer would know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's taunting the police. He's wanting to be like, hey, you know, he claims he's a monster.
Yep.
That he has a monster in him. And he gives himself the nickname BTK. This is where BTK first shows up.
He coins it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because Dennis Rader wants to be famous.
Yep.
He wants to be a Ted Bundy. He wants that notoriety
mm-hmm.
and he wants that attention.
Yes.
So, of course, he comes up with being called BTK. And, of course, it sticks.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that, and that's the thing, too. That's where I have a love-hate relationship with the media when they start talking about crimes and mm-hmm. when it's obvious we're dealing with a serial killer or arson or whatever. I don't want to hear about the killer, you know. Mm-hmm. Talk about the victims.
It's the victims,
you
right.
know, because a lot of them do, oh, yeah, I did this and I got more outlandish with things because I knew it would gain more attention on the news and I liked seeing sure. myself on the news or what I did on the news. And that's where
right.
my,
yeah.
you know, I, like I said, I kind of, Yes, you need that information out there to the public to stay safe, but at the same time, how much glorification are we giving to these acts?
Right. Yeah, definitely. So Dennis's next project, because he calls his victims projects, which is just like, don't get me started. We'll start on it later.
Right. Yeah.
I'm holding it to the end, folks. You're really going to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Catherine Bright, who is a college student.
Yes.
This is April 4th of 1974.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poor Catherine.
And so Catherine comes home with her brother, Kevin.
Yes.
So her and Kevin come home. And BTK, see, I guess we'll call him BTK. Dennis, okay. BTK. I don't want to confuse everybody. He's the same person.
Right, yeah.
But BTK is in the house already.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already in the home.
Cut the phone line, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cut the phone line, and a fight ensues between BTK, or Dennis, and Kevin, the brother.
Yes.
And so Kevin gets shot in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And BTK takes Catherine and ties her up.
Mm-hmm.
And he strangles her, and she kind of struggles to get away from him. He has a knife, and he starts stabbing her in the stomach.
Yep. To let it slowly happen, he says.
Right. Yep. So Kevin, who's been shot in the head, was able to actually get up and run to the next door for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And he survives, thankfully. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Catherine does not. Catherine dies hours later at the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's left a witness now.
Yes.
And Kevin gives a description, which is like the composite.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the composite, I don't know if you saw it or not.
No, I didn't.
It does look basic. I'm sure it does, because in that moment, I mean, are you really sitting there going, okay, their nose look like this, their lips look like this? I mean, you try to get an idea, like a flash in your mind of what it looks like. But there was nothing too distinctive that really I thought stood out. But he gives you kind of a description of, you know, this is the person that I see. Yeah.
Well, and two, he was shot in the head. So we have to assume that he has a lot of brain trauma from a gunshot to the head, because I don't know how close it was. Obviously, it was not in the back of the head, or it hit any vital parts of the brain, because he did live. So I bet that's why, too. It was probably just basic. I think what mine said was he was only able to confirm it was a Caucasian male.
Sure.
And that was
That and the facial features are pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Which, there again, in the moment, if you're in fight and flight, are you really sitting there really studying exactly what
that's
I mean, I give him credit for even knowing some of it. I don't know if I'd know any of the information, you know.
Mm-mm. No. I couldn't tell you who I sat beside, you know.
Right.
On a bus or something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's some similarities between Catherine's and the Oteros, right?
Right.
You just said it. You know, the phone line was cut.
Mm-hmm.
There's some strangulation involved.
Right.
But then we're seeing differences because someone's been shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're stabbing. Like,
right.
Okay. So we're seeing differences and similarities. So that's why the police are like, they're kind of connected, but then they kind of aren't connected.
Right. Yes. Yeah. They're a
so
bit hesitant
is,
to say we've got a serial killer, but
right. So, you know, the police are running into dead ends at this point. Mm-hmm. People in the neighborhood are totally panicked, which I don't blame them.
Well, yeah.
So around, okay. So he did this in April 4th, 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis and Paula, mm-hmm. BTK and his wife, welcome a baby in 1975 named Brian.
Yep.
So, you know, Dennis is very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his fantasy of killing is on the back burner because I'm a dad now.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he said. Now, the first time, I don't know if we talked about this or not, when he killed the Otero family, he had lost his job. And he was living, Paula was the breadwinner.
Mm.
And he felt very emasculated by that.
Which,
and
okay,
so,
you know.
And I think he wanted that dominance, that power, okay?
Yeah.
But now, my wife has had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Life is, or if we've had this first child, I'm busy. So I'm going to put this on a shelf.
Right.
And I'm going to raise my children.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And this, yeah, and this is where he's working for, he works for ADT. And he's going into people's houses and setting up alarm systems.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got, but he can compartmentalize. How come the demon that was in him wasn't like, hey, look, we're getting free reign into people's houses here?
Well, yeah. That's the thing. There were two people living inside him. And he could, like you said, compartmentalize. He could turn it on and off, which was scary.
And we're going to talk about that later, too. I promise, y'all, it's going to stay
tuned.
It'll
all tie together. Yeah. Don't worry.
It will, yes. So, from 1974 to 1977, there's no word of the BTK.
No.
There's no because we now know
correspondence,
raising,
or nothing.
Helping raise kid, work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, he pops up again March 27th of 1978. And this is, how do you say the Latin? Shirley Vian?
I believe it's Vian,
Vian. This is she was the mom of a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm sorry. She's the mother of three.
Mm-hmm.
She loved to sing in the choir. You know, all accounts, she's a really sweet, wonderful lady.
Mm-hmm.
And her three children were playing outside one day, and she was in the house probably cooking, doing, you know, housework and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A man shows up to the children and shows a picture to them and says, hey, have you seen my wife? And of course, the children are like, being kids, are like, no, I haven't seen her, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, is anybody home? And they're like, well, yeah, our mom's home.
Right.
And he's like, well, can I go? Let's go up there and I'm going to go ask your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, being kids, they take him up there, and he gets to the door, and Shirley's there, and he forces his way in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All because the kids were out playing in the yard.
Yeah. So he takes the children are crying because there's this man, they're grabbing their mom, and they're crying. So he puts them in the bathroom with toys. How wonderful.
Right. I'm so caring.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And shuts the door. And outside of that bathroom door, he is bounding and murdering their mother. Yeah. And the son, the oldest son, could actually see his mom getting killed from under the door.
Oh my gosh. Uh-uh. Yeah. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Nope, 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 nope. And all for no reason, just because he's sick.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the kids were able to confirm the description of what he looked like. That yes, he was a Caucasian male.
Mm-hmm.
What Kevin had told them, the kids are saying, yes, this is the same person that we're seeing as well.
Yeah.
But now he didn't cut the phone lines.
Mm-mm.
But he is bounding, torturing, and killing her. So we're seeing that BTK.
Right. Yeah. The pattern's established.
Yes. So now there's Nancy Fox.
Yes. Ugh.
And this really got me because, like, how many of us, we have a mailbox in front of our house, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you work all day, you come home, your mail's probably been sitting there all day.
Right.
I never in a million years thought that somebody would go and open your mailbox and see your name and where you lived and to be able to stalk you based on that information. That scared me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's what he did to Nancy, and she lived alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Nancy comes in the house. And he's already in there.
Yep.
And he kills her.
Yep. Yeah, but then, because he said that the victim, Nancy Fox, that was his perfect kill. Mm-hmm. That he did everything correct with her. And that, you know, he could strangle her till she was almost at the edge of death. And he'd lay off, let her revive a little bit, and strangle her again. And that's how he was getting his pleasure. But he said it was his perfect kill. So, of course, you know, being the brilliant one he is, he's decided, you know, I'm going to call the cops. And I'm going to let them know what I've done and lead them to Nancy because that was my perfect kill. So, he wasn't calling out of remorse, grief, regret. No, he was calling them because he was proud. And so, you know, and it had a recording of the call. You know, he said, there's a woman, Nancy Fox, at da-da-da-da-da address. And she, you know, she's been killed. She's in her bedroom. Just thought you should know. Click. I mean, how twisted are you?
Right.
But then, we're not dealing with somebody normal either. Very narcissistic, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and he even writes a letter to the Eagle. That's the name of the newspaper there.
Oh, yeah.
And he lists the victims' names. Mm-hmm. And then he writes, how many more people do I have to kill to get my name in the paper?
Right, because other people were being investigated for the Otero, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, the Otero's murders. So he was
Right.
like, oh no, it was me, and I'm going to write a letter to
Right.
the TV station and be like, hey, you know.
Right.
But because he does that, now the FBI is involved with it.
Yeah.
So, okay, now we got more people looking for you.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So now the FBI is involved. You got more manpower. You got more people looking. But yet he's still going on about his business and wants to say, hey, I want my attention. Give me my attention that I
Right. Yeah.
so rightly deserve, of course,
Right. Right. And the police are having a hard time linking the victims together because when you look at the Nancy Fox case versus like the Otero case, the earlier cases, they don't really match up. So it's like, what are we really dealing with here? But I think the police do know, this is obviously somebody who is among our community that is killing. So they hold a press conference and they say, we have a serial killer on our hands. Because that's when they got the letter, remember, from the Eagle listing all the victims. So he's taking claim from the Oteros on up, and it's one killer. So now they're realizing it's one killer, and even though it's different, we're seeing different methods of killing, it's still one person. So that's when they make the call of let's do a press conference to alert the public. So that's when the police realize it's not two or three or four different killers, it's one person that's taking the credit for this. So in June of 78, Brader becomes a father again to a little girl named Carrie. So again, what happens when they have kids? He goes radio silent for about 8 years. So he's too busy raising his children. And people thought maybe he died or went to jail. BTK
Well,
may be dead by now.
and he actually, during that time on the one I watched, he actually enrolled in a local college for criminal justice classes because the FBI got involved. And he's like, oh, no, I can outsmart you, which you can't, but whatever. Go, you know.
So 8 years of being quiet, of course, all of a sudden Raider starts killing again. And April of 1985, Maureen Hedge, 53 years old, mom of four, she's also a grandmother. Her husband had just passed away. And she is what you said, she is the neighbor of BTK. So she is Dennis Rader's neighbor.
Four doors down, yep.
A woman that he waved his arm up to and said hi. A woman that he probably chit-chatted, but one day decided, I need to kill her.
Just there was no reason to it other than, man, I'm gonna murder her, and
And
that
this
was
one is
it.
horrible. Yeah, this one's a horrible one. So he knows the layout of her house because they have the same type of house. So he was able to figure that out. So he breaks in her house, waits in her closet until she goes to bed and comes out and strangles her. I know. That's why I check every time. I'm like, okay, check all the doors, check all,
I'm like
anybody in
checking,
here? Yeah.
checking the locks 6 times, pulling on the
Yeah.
door, checking the windows. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So after he strangles her, he decides to drive her body to the church.
Yes, because Maureen is an elder at her church. Or no, I'm sorry, a deacon at her
Digging, yes.
church. And he takes terrible, just horrific photographs at
Yes.
different places in the church. And one of
Yeah.
them that stood out was like he had her, bound and positioned, and there's choir robes, hanging in the background. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
but this is like, okay, is this coming from when the teacher humiliated him so many years ago? I mean, is this where it comes from or what? And I can't imagine Maureen did anything to deserve that type of fate, you know?
So he dumps her body in a ditch. And
And
of
then leaves
course,
her out
yeah.
to, ugh, yeah.
And then walks away. Which I kept sitting here thinking, okay, so you do all this and then you go home and go, okay, honey, what's for dinner? Because
Well,
remember, there's no comp he's compartmentalizing.
right.
He's
And he actually has a good alibi for this one. The reason why BTK, one of his sons, was in Boy Scouts. So what he would do is when there's Boy Scout camp, he would go to the Boy Scout camps. Then at night, when everybody's asleep, and as he did with Maureen Hedge, he snuck off the campsite, murdered her, did all this crap, murdered her, did dumped her because he was on his way back to the Boy Scout camp. So then they would wake up and he was there. Perfect alibi because who's going to question where you are between midnight and 6 a.m.? We're all in a tent asleep, allegedly.
Out in the woods in the middle of nowhere.
Right. So, but then he gets a little more twisted while he's at these Boy Scout camps because, yeah, see that. And this is why I'm glad we watch different stuff
We sure,
because it
yeah, we
gives
did. Yeah.
different information. So he would actually, kind of go a little ways out off of the Boy Scout campsite, and he would have masks that he would wear. Some looked like porcelain dolls, ski masks, things like that. And he would actually set up a camera, and he would take pictures of himself dressed in women's
Oh my
clothing, where he would actually tie himself up. And there's
gosh.
pictures. I mean, it's blurred in the
I've
appropriate
seen it.
places.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah,
But, and
right.
then he would dig a shallow grave and he wrapped himself in cellophane or plastic wrap and he bound himself up and he had a bag over his head and he would take pictures of himself laying in the shallow grave or he would bound himself up and he would be hanging by the rib cage. But
Wow.
he even said, well, there were a couple of times I got stuck. And I didn't think I thought the Boy Scouts were going to be coming through and finding me, and how
Oh my
humiliating that would be.
goodness.
But I'm like,
Oh,
are
I
you
wish he
see,
got stuck.
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But so he was taking Boy Scout camp time, which should have been time with
Right.
his son,
Right.
to keep going into this other life that he has and take pictures
Right.
and stuff. And it's just like, oh, brother. That,
Yeah.
I
Oh, yeah.
mean,
Yeah.
whoo.
You send your child off to Boy Scout camp, and this is what's going on.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
exactly.
like, so with Maureen Hedge, there's no suspects, and the police don't think this is BTK. They didn't think it was BTK at all, because it's been 8 years, and now, and like you said, taking the body away and taking pictures and dumping it in a ditch, they're
Right.
like, eh, it just doesn't really sound like BTK.
Exactly.
So then we have Vicki Waverly. She is a mother of a 2-year-old, and I think you got a little bit more info on her than I did. This was in September of 86. BTK comes to her door and claims to be an AT&T agent, and there's something wrong with her phone. So of course she lets him in, and he again bound, tortures, and kills her. She fought. She scratches him. There's actually skin cells under her nails. But at the time, we're talking about 1986, you're not seeing DNA testing.
Right. No. No, 'cause we're
There's
still,
no
it's
DNA
right
testing.
before DNA testing starts.
Correct. Yeah. So that's what I found about her. But you had said that her husband actually came home and found her.
Yes, he had came home about 3:30, about midday, after work, and he found her bound, and he thought she was maybe still alive, so he cut her free and called the ambulance. And it showed her being brought out of the house, and they're doing measures to try to resuscitate her.
But
But
yeah.
unfortunately, it was way too late. But
Horrible.
he didn't harm the child, but
Yeah,
the
yeah,
baby
yeah.
was like what, two? I think. I mean,
He was two at the
young.
time. It was a toddler, yeah. So from 86 to 91, there's no more killings. Okay, so after Vicki Waverly, there's just no more killings. He's got church, family, job, all this is going on, he said. Got all the responsibilities again, raising children. But in 1991, he loses his job again. And his wife becomes the breadwinner again. So what happens? He does what he did before. I'm
Doesn't matter.
emasculated. I have no, no control. Here I go. And this is where he kills Dolores Davis in 1991.
This is the last victim.
It is,
She's
thankfully. I just,
62.
yeah.
Are you serious?
Broken to her house. Her body is dumped in a ditch.
Yep.
When they find her body, there is a mask on her face.
Yep. Yep. I just, Nope.
So the last that the police had heard from BTK was in 78 after the Fox case.
Correct.
Because he was not writing to the police. He was doing these other killings, but mm-hmm. he's not saying anything.
Right. Exactly.
And there's nothing linking these murders.
Mm-hmm.
So in 91, Rader does have a job. He finally gets a job, and he's a compliance officer. So he's the one that'll come and say, your grass is too high, you need to cut it.
So he has power. He has control over people.
Yes.
As minimal as it is, he has the power now.
And co-workers, especially Mary Capps, said that he was a horrible person to work with.
Oh,
controlling, mean, micromanaging. Mm-hmm. She said you didn't know when he was going to snap. I mean, he was just a jerk. And mm-hmm. he was mean to her, especially, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But, you know, she complained about him and did grievances, but nobody would listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, he's a family man. He's a husband. He goes to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he can't be this horrible person.
No. Goodness, no. Yeah.
Now we are on the, I believe, the 30th anniversary of the Otero case.
Yes.
And this is where it all starts to change.
Yep. Yep, and this is where Pamela has a narrow escape as well. His wife.
Oh, Paula, yes.
Paula, I'm sorry.
Yes, no, you're fine.
I get a name wrong every week.
No, you're fine. So the Eagle is writing about the anniversary of the Otero case and mm-hmm. how it's not been solved.
Yes.
And during this time, I believe it's in 2004, Dennis Rader's son is leaving for the Navy. His daughter, Carrie, got married. So guess who has all this free time on their hands?
Exactly.
In 2004, okay? Mm-hmm. So he writes to the Eagle. 25 years, this was the last correspondence they had with BTK was 25 years. Yep. He writes to the Eagle, and he claims to kill Vicky
mm-hmm.
with pictures of her body
yes.
that he mailed to the Eagle.
Yes.
And also a photocopy of Vicky's driver's license.
Yes, because come to find out, he's been collecting souvenirs.
Yes.
From every killing and keeping them where else? In the family tree house in the backyard.
Yeah.
That's where you should, where your kids can be.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for a year, I mean, the news, of course, they're picking this up and they're talking about it. So mm-hmm. Dennis Rader, BTK, is getting attention again.
Oh, yeah. And they post one of the letters mm-hmm. in the newspaper, and his wife goes, "Oh, look, honey, you and the BTK spell that same word incorrectly."
Oh,
and he said, "I wasn't sure if I was going to have to kill her right then, but she never said another word. She just thought it was a strange coincidence." Oh, wow. My gosh. No.
Yeah, he would have killed his wife. He would have killed his
because wife. Because he thought she would have put it together and be like, "Wait. I mean, now, come on. You think you're the only person that spells that word. Whatever word. It didn't say what word it was, but you think you're the only one that spells a word wrong. Come on."
Right. Yeah. So, December 13th of 2004, a viewer finds something in a park.
Yes.
And they alert Cake, K-A-K-E, which is the newscast, the news...
affiliate there, yes.
Affiliate. There we go.
Local I can station, see it yeah.
Yes. And it's a box with a Barbie doll, the noose around its neck, and a pipe.
Yes.
And he says that this is Josie Otero. This is the little girl from mm-hmm. the first case that was found hanging in the basement. Mm-hmm. Also, there's an ID card of Nancy Fox's.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so he's like, "Hey, look what I got." He just couldn't stop. And I really think if he had just stopped, like back in 91, I really think it wouldn't be solved.
Right.
He just could not help himself.
Yeah.
Because he wanted... He's like, "Oh, here's the anniversary. Give me my media coverage."
Yeah. Well, and the body fluids that we talked about that were found in some of these scenes, there was semen remains left in a couple of scenes,
mm-hmm.
but there was no indication of sexual assault. Right. Well, now that we're getting into like 2004, they're actually able to test that for DNA.
Yes.
So what they do is they go around and they get hundreds of men that they go up to the door and say, "Hey, can we swab your cheek
mm-hmm.
to get a DNA sample from you?" They did 1,300 DNA samples, but no match.
Wow. Yep. Because, you know, he's there. And all the while sending different Barbie dolls throughout the area, boxes, because he's a serial killer, that have different messages written on there with, you know, whoever was on the front of that cereal box, and he would draw like a rope around them or bound, you know. I mean, I'm like, come on. This is stupid. You're stupid. I mean, obviously, but.
Right. But yeah.
But then he gets real, real bold.
Yeah, he does.
He decides to send a disc of pictures to the police station. So he thinks, oh, you know, I'm going to be so bold and just directly send evidence to the police, because they're not going to be able to trace who took these pictures.
Right, because he even asked the police if it was okay to send the disc. And the police were like, sure.
Why would you do that?
right. Hey, he wrote him a letter and said, if I send this, you're not going to be able to trace this, right? And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, police officer, we're cool if I send you this, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Tattle on me, right?
Yeah. So computer science gets him.
Yes. So the floppy disk that you said that they sent in, they were able to use it and traced it back to a Dennis Rader at the Christ Lutheran Church.
Yes. He did all that at the church, like putting all the pictures and stuff together to mail out to police. He did that at church.
Right. Yeah. Now, they couldn't link it together, right? Mm-hmm. So they had to get DNA sample. But if they had gone up and said, we want your DNA sample, he would have run out the door. Oh, he'd have been like, hightailing out there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So the police were able to get a sample of his daughter's pap smear that she had done, tested it, and that's what came up as a positive match to the BTK sample. The different samples that had been left at this crime scene.
Yeah.
So he was arrested in February of 2005.
Yep, February 25th, 2005.
Yep, he never denied anything.
No, and you know, days before, like not that, maybe a couple of months before he was arrested, he actually attended his 40th high school reunion. And people there just talked about how, oh, he was bragging on his kids and his life and in his work. He said, you would have not known everything he had done by the way he acted there. It was just that disturbing and showed how he could just, I'm one way here and I'm another way there. And, you know,
I mean, he did plead guilty at the arraignment.
Oh, yeah. He just started, but he was proud of what he did. That's why he was telling people, I think. He wasn't ashamed.
He said, well, I don't want to waste taxpayers' money on a trial. Oh, how wonderful.
So noble, sir.
Yes. So he gets up and pleads guilty. So I like the judge. His name is Greg Waller. He has since passed away last year. And he asked him, he said, well, you need to go through each victim, and I want you to tell me everything that you did. Because he felt that the victims' families deserved that. They needed to hear what happened to their loved ones. So Dennis goes up there and acts like he's reading like from a book. Like it's there's no emotion. There's no nothing.
No regret, no remorse, nothing. No. It's just very, what did you, well, I entered the home. I had cut the landline. I mean, it was just so.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So August the 18th, he was sentenced to 170 plus years. So it's life in prison.
Yes.
And they could not do the death penalty because during the time of the killings, the death penalty was not enforceable in Kansas.
Exactly. Yep. So pretty much 10 consecutive life sentences is what I think he ended up was the ruling or whatever. But So he's just hanging out now.
It's interesting to me that he can turn it on and off so easily. Because we see other serial killers like Ted Bundy. I mean, Ted killed and he just kept killing.
He couldn't stop himself. Right.
That was the thing. When you look at BTK versus Ted Bundy, Ted just kept going and going and going. Ted was never going to stop.
Right.
But Dennis seemed to be able to say, it was almost like, well, I don't have time for that hobby right now. And that's what he kind of called it. It was like a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, and that
it was just something to do,
but that shows he had control, and that shows that he chose to do these killings. That it wasn't like you said, Ted Bundy, where he just could not control himself. He just saw these people and it had to be done right then. I'm going to set the scene up and whoever comes and tries to help mm-hmm. me change my tire, you're dead, you know.
Right.
He couldn't control himself. Now this nut, I don't mean that anyway, but this person, he, you know, he could control it and he just chose not to. And that's what makes it scary because...
He got up in court.
He looked like anybody.
He got up in court and said that he thanked the police officers for arresting him and for figuring out it was him. And he also said that it was hard to be a serial killer.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, I'm just sitting here like, you got to be kidding me.
The terror he put on that town, and he wants to talk about how hard it was for him to be the killer.
Yeah, he wants you to feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him.
No.
And I feel sorry for his children. I feel sorry for his wife. And his daughter, Carrie, has gone on to write a book about what it's like to have BTK as your father.
Oh, I can imagine.
And I do feel bad for her. I really do.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that's your father.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And how do you reconcile the two? I mean, that has to be hard. But I couldn't believe it. I mean, but he did say that he had another victim that he was getting ready to kill had the police not caught him. It was a woman named Mary who lived in a duplex. Well, you remember his coworker Mary that was like, hey, I'm filing grievances against you and all this? Her name is Mary and she lives in a duplex.
Oh, wow.
So she thinks she very well was going to be the 11th victim.
And she might have been because he could have seen her as trying to humiliate him by filing these grievances. Right. That it all comes back. It's not necessarily that he was humiliated by the teacher, but what he did after that by going to her house and what ensued there is what really set the path onto what he did and continued to do willingly. Yeah. I mean, too many layers. Yep.
I think this is somebody that just wants attention. I think this is somebody that wants power. And I think that he wants that notoriety. I really do. I think that's what he wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, and he got it. He
didn't care. Yeah, he didn't care who he destroyed and what he did. Mm-hmm. It was what he wanted.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yep.
Well, that was interesting. I learned more about him than I thought I would, that's for sure.
Well, and side note, the inmates call him Baby Killer.
Baby Killer. Okay.
Yeah. They call him Baby Killer.
He did.
Yeah.
He took children's lives he shouldn't have taken any lives, but children, too, you know. Why?
Yep. Ugh. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yep. So he's a garbage individual.
Totally.
So, you know.
Yep. So that's BTK.
It is.
Dennis Rader. Yep. Whew. That was a larger onion. But.
It was.
So, all right. Well, that's all on that one that we've got.
Yes.
So, we appreciate you listening with us. Next week, Erin, we have up Daniel Marsh.
Yes.
Is our next case. Tell us a little about him.
Well, Daniel Marsh is a kid who killed an older couple because he wanted to know what it was like to kill people.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
And so there's a lot of twists and turns in this case. I don't want to give too much away, but there is a possibility that he could be getting out of prison next year at the age of 25, I believe, 24, 25.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he was a kid when he murdered. Mm-hmm. So it brings up the question, should children be tried as adults?
Right. Yeah. Well, so that'll be a good discussion to have.
Yeah.
So I know I have my thoughts on that. So, as I'm sure we all do. So I'm just going to tease it right there that we all have thoughts on it. So Daniel Marsh next week, and of course we'll be putting up what we're watching or listening to get our information. If you want to follow along with us, we appreciate it. So, okay. So that onion is peeled all the way back. We're done with BTK. Yep. So we appreciate you all listening. Just a side note, that book I talked about in the yard sale, I made it up. It's not real, so don't worry about it. It's just a joke. But but it would be funny if ever that happened. But
you never know.
That's right. So, all right. So thank you again for staying with us. Follow us on Instagram. Like, follow, subscribe. If you want to email us, southernonion2@gmail.com is our email address. Love to hear from you. And thanks again for everything. We're having so much fun and loving hearing from everybody. So we will be back here next week with the case of Daniel Marsh. And until then, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.